Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And thanks so much for listening today. Today is May 20th, 2020. Lots of 20s in there. And hope you're making a lot of 20s these days. That's always a good sign, too. Hey, welcome to the show, Education Talk Radio. I have a real treat, not only for you, but for me, because I love astronomy. We are going to be talking to Valentina Rodriguez. Valentina is the Director of External Relations for the project that is called the Giant Magellan Telescope, which is being built in Chile. All right. And we're going to talk about why Chile, how it works educationally, what's the purpose of this. I love astronomy, and I want kids to understand that they just take the time to look up. Okay, hopefully where they live, they can still see the sky and see it well. It's a little clearer now that unfortunately, I guess, industry has shut down and we've got a clearer environment. So this is going to be a nice show, and I'm looking forward to having a nice conversation with Valentina. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. That's education-talkradio.org. All of our old shows, the archive shows are there. Just go to the past shows icon. We change the schedule every Saturday. Our sister site is all about equity and access, pre-K-12. That's called ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Ace-ed is now an acronym for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. ace-ed.org. Please go over there. Join our consortium. It's free. And along with that, you'll be able to see our magazine, which is Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, AC&E. It's a wonderful magazine, and it really is. And we're the only place in all of education focusing 100% media-wise on equity and access. And you see where we are with what we're dealing with these days with the pandemic. So please check it out, ace-ed.org. Okay, enough about me. Let's talk about Valentina. Hi, Valentina. This is Larry Jacobs. How are you?
Hey, Larry. Nice talking to you. I'm fine. Working from home like everybody, I think.
And are you in California now? Or are you in Chile?
No.
I'm
in Chile. I'm in Santiago. Yes, I'm in Santiago. Yes.
What's the weather like there in Santiago?
Actually, it's our first rainy day this year, which is good. It's good to have some rain, yes.
It's always good to have some rain. I've never been down to beautiful Chile. I'm sure it's magnificent down there. And are you a resident of Chile, or do you live here in the United States?
Yes, I'm a Chilean citizen, actually. I was born and raised in Chile, and I've been working for astronomy for the past 15 years or so as a science journalist specializing in astronomy. So I've been working for many astronomical organizations in Chile. You know, Chile is very important in astronomy.
Well, believe me, I know that. Actually, I was looking at the website. Let me go over here for a second. The website is gmto.org. This project is absolutely fascinating. gmto.org. And there's a line, I lost track of it here, but it says that by 2030, the year 2030, and if I read this right, and I think I did, over 50% of the world's, quote, light grasp will be in Chile. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. And we are so excited about that because this is going to be a revolution in astronomy for all humankind. Yes, and let me tell you that if you imagine the first night that Galileo looked through a small telescope and think about all that happened from that moment to our time, it's amazing. Astronomy has grown bigger and bigger every step in the way. And now we're dreaming about a great leap in astronomy with the GMT. We are talking about a 25-meter diameter telescope, which is larger than anything we ever imagined before. You know, it's
25
amazing.
Meters. 25 meters, and that's the was that the diameter? Is that what we're talking about? Diameter?
The diameter. So it's impossible now to build one big mirror that size. So what we're doing is to build seven mirrors.
That's right. Seven mirrors built in Arizona. Being built in Arizona,
yes.
Right? Or engineered in Arizona.
Yes, that's
I'm
right.
Good.
They are. Yes, you're very. You did your homework. That's great.
I did.
We already casted five of those mirrors, so we already have five mirrors in different stages of construction, and we have two more to go for. So we hope to cast another one next year, maybe the year after that, the last one, and then to have them ready to travel to Chile.
Fantastic. And right now, okay, this is May 20th, mm-hmm. 2020. There's a mountaintop in Chile, and people can go over. You can see this gmto.org. This is fascinating. So the mountaintop in Chile. All right, but how much of it is constructed now? Is the building ready to accept the mirrors? How far along are we, building wise?
No,
not the mirrors.
Unfortunately,
there's
a big hole in the top of the mountain, which is impressive because it gives you the idea of the size of this project. This is going to be a 23-story building. That's
a
comparison that you can have. But imagine this building moving 360, turning around, open the gate, and inside the huge mirror that inclinates to track the stars. So it's a huge structure that it will be earthquake proof because, you know, in Chile we have strong earthquakes, so
that's right.
We need to, yes, like you. we have to be prepared for that in a very sensitive electronics. So it's a challenge in every way. We are building over previous successful experiences like the Magellan telescope that we already operate near our mountaintop. The Observatorio Las Campanas Observatory is right next to us, and they were the foundations of this project. So we are using all the previous experience to build something even more challenging that we already have.
It's just fascinating when you talk about Galileo before, I'm thinking he had a very crude telescope, if I may, way back when.
Yes.
Okay. But the sky he looked up into, because it was so dark in those days when night fell, he had a magnificent sky to look at.
Yes.
And now, unfortunately, on this planet, and I hate to say, I guess one thing good is that the environment's recovering a little bit from the pandemic, but I won't say anything really nice about the pandemic. It's not good. Okay. But that is a little factor about it. All right. But so many people do not understand how beautiful the sky is. And as a result of that, over the course of many years, a lot of them don't even look up anymore because there's not that much to see. When I first got interested in astronomy, I lived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay, right in the city. And I'm talking about the 1950s now. We had a pretty good sky in 1950 in the city. And now it's completely blotted out. All right? And I live in Maine now, out in the country. I go out every night and look at the sky just to remind myself I own a little piece of that from here on Earth. And I got to tell you, it's something that we have missed. And I want to ask you, Valentina, when most people think of a telescope, okay, they think, and I'm just going to put this into people's minds, not scientists, just the generic person. Okay, well, we have the Hubble telescope, and the Hubble gives us incredible views of the universe. Why are we taking the time and the money and the energy to build this one? And I, by the way, I know the answer. I want you to explain it to people, though.
Well, we need all the electromagnetic spectrum to be studied by our telescopes. We need space telescope to detect some of the radiation that we cannot study from Earth That's not the case with the Hubble telescope, but that's the case with a lot of other telescopes that study, for instance, X-rays or other high energetic radiations that fortunately we don't receive in the Earth. Otherwise, we will be toasted. But the thing is that astronomy is a very wide range of information that we want to collect mm-hmm. in order to have the whole picture here. So mm-hmm. we need radio telescopes, antennas that can collect the millimeter and submillimeter, for instance, information. This is the cold universe, you can say. But we also need the optical information, which is the one that we collect with mirrors, like the one that we mm-hmm. have. And let mm-hmm. me tell you about the differences between space astronomy and ground-based astronomy.
Please
ground-based
do.
Astronomy has, ground-based astronomy is a very, very flexible and I think it pushes the edges of astronomy farther than space astronomy. And let me tell you why. First, you have to think about the size of the telescopes that we are talking about here on Earth. We're talking about something huge, impossible to send out of space. So when we talk about the diameter of the giant Magellan telescope, you have to think that the hole in the middle of our center mirror will be the size of the Hubble Space Telescope. So the part that we are not using in our telescope is equivalent to the size of the Hubble telescope. So we have a bigger collecting area, you know? So that is one of the points that why you should keep building telescopes on Earth. Then we have the problem of the atmosphere. Hubble telescopes is clear sky every day, every hour, with no turbulence in the atmosphere. We do have the atmosphere. That's good for us, humans, but it's bad for astronomy. So what we do for that? We develop technology that helps us to cope with that turbulence, and that is adaptive optics. Adaptive optics is now a technology that is almost everywhere in a big and professional observatory. And that is a very, very sensitive mirror, very flexible mirror that compensates the turbulence of the atmosphere. As a result of that, we have images almost as clear as you get from space.
Wow.
So then, again, you can compensate some of the cons that you have from ground. And then you mm-hmm. have another very, very important thing with ground-based telescope, and that is evolution. You can upgrade. You can have new instruments attached to your telescope for questions that you don't even think about now, things that you don't know even how that will be.
Of course. We're able to fix it. It's right here. It's here.
Absolutely.
We can get to it.
And let me tell you, Larry, that the science that the GMT will allow, it goes to all the frontiers in astronomy. But the most amazing things are the ones that we cannot even anticipate, the new things that will come up with this big, big mirror.
You know, I mean, this is an impossible question. How far... I don't know how to even ask this question. The size of the telescope, how far out can we see? I mean, the Hubble can see pretty darn far out. And when we do that, by the way, everybody, we're actually going both into the future and into the past. The universe is continually expanding, okay? And it's constantly moving further away from us as we move as well, okay? But what do they hope to see? I mean, there may even be, I hate this, I mean, I'm sounding very philosophical now, there could even be another universe out there. Who knows? You know, if you said it as well as you could. Who knows what we're going to see? We're ignorant of it right now. What is the hope? What's the main, not optically, but the main focus of the whole thing? What do they want to see when all's said and done? You know what I mean? And that's a very
philosophical
question.
Yes, I know. Every astronomer is asking the same question, I think, Larry, how far we can get with these huge telescopes, and we want to get as far as possible. And you're right, telescopes in a way are time machines.
They are time machines.
Yes, they are, and they are capable sometimes to give you to travel with you to the past, to the future. But let me tell you what's the limit now, so then we can understand how far are we getting now, which is like 400 million years after the Big Bang. That is a very, very, it's a baby universe. And for that time, we already know that there have been already some stars that already die and enrich the environment.
Of course.
So if we think that the universe was built based on only two elements, if we find any elements apart from those original ones, which are helium and hydrogen, if you have anything different from that, then you can infer that some stars died. So the mm-hmm. universe had the time for stars to evolve and die. So we want to get to those first stars before they die.
Wow.
That's what the GMT wants to do. We want to get there before they are born. The first chemical enrichment of the universe, we want to be there and to watch that and to study that and to be able to have a more complete story of our past. That is one of the science goals of the GMT. There are so many others.
That's amazing scientifically. That's amazing philosophically. That's amazing theologically. I mean, any way you can do it to go back to the beginning, okay, and mm-hmm. see it. And again, telescopes are time machines. Okay, and to do this and be able to do it now, okay, is just amazing. I have to ask this: who is building this? Somebody had the idea. Let's build this thing. Okay, who was that, and how did they get to this? This costs, I'm sure, hundreds of millions of dollars, well spent, in my opinion. But who owns it? Where does it come from? Where did the idea germinate?
Well, of course, this is an effort. It's such a big effort. We're talking of a billion dollars project here no one can go for something this big alone. So there are partnerships that are needed in order to get this done. So we have like many very prestigious U.S. Institutions participating and funding this project. And let me name some of them, because you already mentioned the University of Arizona. They have a tremendous experience in building the biggest mirrors for astronomy in the world.
And let me just make a point there. I read this on your website. Wait a minute. That there was actually, I think it's the Caris or something, but it's a mirror lab. That's at the University of Arizona,
a mirror lab.
Amazing.
Yeah, I've never been there, but I understand that it's
up amazing.
Below the football field. That's the size of the lab. It's so huge that it has a football field on top of it. It's huge.
Wow.
It's huge. And as I said, that's the limit for a mirror. 8.4 meters is the limit. So we are already in the limit of how big you can build one mirror, one piece of mirror. So that is one of our partners. You also have the Carnegie Observatories with a large experience building observatories for astronomy. We have Harvard Institution, Smithsonian, Texas, A&M, Texas in Austin, many other institutions like Chicago University. I don't want to forget anybody, but let me tell you, in a big picture, we have institutions in the US, in Australia, in Brazil, and Korea participating and funding this tremendous, tremendous project.
Well, it is a tremendous project. And besides giving this, the site, is Chile involved at all, too? You're a scientist.
Yes,
you're
yes.
astronomers like you. In Chile, it must be like yes. you're going to have driving access to this thing.
Yes, well, Chile is a host country. It's a partner in the sense that it's providing all the infrastructure that is needed, all the facilities to operate in Chile. Chile has a very strong regulations to protect the observatories from light pollution, for instance. So Chile has been a very important partner for astronomy in the past decades to build a fruitful relationship and to protect the investment that's are already done in the country and the ones that are coming in the country. The good side of that for Chile, because they provide the land, they provide the skies, clear and dark skies, but what Chile gets is amazing. They get a percentage of the use of this technology. So imagine that for a country to have access to the most powerful instruments in the world to do astronomy. So astronomy
it's unbelievable.
Chile has unbelievable. So it's a privilege.
You're so lucky. Yeah. It is a privilege. You're lucky to have it there. Valentina, I must ask you, and do you know what, if I use the term STEM in education, do you know what that is?
Yeah, I know, and we are very much involved in that.
Good. Okay, I just want to make sure we were on the same language train there. Okay, so science, technology, engineering, and math, that's the acronym that it is. And they're always, everybody in education, and again, this is Education Talk Radio, is always concerned to get more girls involved. And girls become ladies, women. Okay, and you are a prime example. You're a science journalist, and you're probably 90% of an astronomer too, if not a full-fledged astronomer who can write. Okay, how did you get interested in this, Valentina Rodriguez? You are really you're like an inspiration to a lot of young ladies. So, just talk about your little experience there.
Well, I was inspired by a science journalist when I was a young girl. This TV show in Chile about science, and I was so amazed about that. But I thought that I wasn't smart enough to be a scientist, and I think it used to be the problem with girls. We didn't have access to role models that were
that's right.
Girls
that's
like
right.
You,
well, you're now a role model,
like you.
And you have plenty. You have more than enough brains
and
to do whatever
do
you want.
We do have more role models. Yes. And
one of them.
So
you're
we addressed that in GNT here in Chile, and we don't want that to happen to girls again. So we want to provide to them some experiences and some role models and some proximity with science that at least put in their minds science as a possibility. As a real possibility for the future, you know, which is something that some kids don't have because of the vulnerable environments they grow up in or because of some other disadvantages, you know, in the society in Chile. Access to good science education is not so easy in areas distant from centers, regional centers. So those are the things that worry at GMT. So we try to make a mark there. We decided to go with a project that maybe can make a difference.
Yeah, you are going to make a difference. You really are. So this is about, okay, so this is amazing. So you're a writer. Okay, who became interested in astronomy, okay? And you're the director of external relations for the project. So let me swing the conversation just a little bit, over to the education side. This project, the Giant Magellan Project, everybody, GMTO.org. Let me make sure I got that right. GMTO.org. Okay, is a great example as it's being built. And as it is built and as we learn to use it, just like the Hubble, okay? Are you working on things that may affect education of kids worldwide so that more children will be able to look up into the sky and think about their future, okay? Is there an education aspect to this?
Absolutely. And we need scientists for the future questions that we need to ask and we need to answer with our telescope. So imagine, Larry, that kids today will be using the telescope that we are building, that is our challenge now, because today astronomers, they are trying very hard to work on the questions we're going to ask ourselves, but the children today, they will be the main actors of this movie, you know. They will be the leaders of the future in the new questions and the new technologies. Like we said, the new instruments, we will need to solve those questions. And this is the beauty of astronomy. Every generation has a lot of new questions to come up with and to pursue. So this is a never-ending story in a way. Astronomy gives the opportunity for children today to think about the questions for the GMT in the future. That's why we need to build now those passion in for science.
Yes.
We need children to start dreaming about the GMT today in order to have those capabilities at disposal when the GMT is ready. So what are we doing now, Larry, here, for instance, in Chile, to help to build that capacity now, to build that interest in science? We partner with some very big institutions like Kavli Foundation, that you probably heard and know very well. Mm-hmm. But we partnered also with the foundation in Chile, the Ecoscience Foundation. And the U.S. Embassy here in Chile, we partner all together to build a very, very, very nice project, which is called an Astronomy Mobile Laboratory. And we start with this idea a couple of years ago and go bigger and bigger. And now I can tell you that we have it ready, rolling. With an inflatable planetarium and a telescope, and it's rolling around Chile, and it's getting to those children that I mentioned before, those that are vulnerable, those that are far from city centers, those that are lacking for science, good science education. We are trying to reach to those kids, because somewhere there could be the next Albert Einstein or Vera Rubin.
Absolutely, without question. All right. And, you know, I'm curious about something. I know in Las Campanas, where the telescope is, the sky is perfect. Okay. It's a sky that maybe someday I'll see, but I've never seen, I have never seen anything like it yet. And I hope someday to see it. But I'm curious, Valentina, in a big city like Santiago, okay, and I was talking before, when I was a kid in Philly, I could see the sky. If you're in Santiago at night, can you see the sky?
Well, actually, no, Larry. You can see a few stars, and probably some kids never even look at the sky in a city like Santiago. Yes.
It's the same everywhere.
Yes, it's the same everywhere.
Go ahead.
And if you think that there are some children now growing up without looking at the night sky ever, that is very sad. Because there are so many profound questions in human history that were triggered by the contemplation of the night sky. Profound questions, like you mentioned, So we need that. We need that relation with our night sky. We need that inspiration provided by the night sky. So that's why we are trying to bring some of that with a small telescope. Even if we don't have the perfect conditions, we want them to have the exercise to look through an eyepiece to a star or to a planet and wonder what is going on there, what is
right.
happening outside my planet. So we try to do that even in polluted cities, Larry. We have to do it anyway.
We have to. I agree with you. Without the night sky, we are confined to Earth. Think about that, everybody. If you had curtains, okay, in your windows and you kept them shut all the time, wouldn't be as much fun, would it? Well, just think of the pollution as a curtain. We have to break through that and understand there's a sky up there. And that sky deserves exploration in so many ways. Okay, and thought and all that. We have to break the confinement. And we can't do that unless we know what's out there. It's that simple. And too many kids today in cities all over the United States and all over the world, they have no, because of the pollution, you can't even see a sky. Now, think about that. Okay, and that's why astronomy education is so important for the future. I really and truly believe this. Okay, it's really great. Valentina, this has just been a wonderful experience talking to you. I hope we can do this again someday.
I hope so, Larry. This has been wonderful. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, anytime. You're welcome here. This is a wonderful project, is all I can say. You're opening up the universe to everybody. You have the eye on the universe. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, okay? And enjoy a beautiful city down there of Santiago, okay? And enjoy building
okay,
a great telescope.
Thank you.
Thanks,
hope
Valentina.
To you again. Bye.
Thank you. I hope so. Bye-bye. Wow, what a great lady. Wow, what a great project. This is the Giant Magellan Telescope, GMTO.org. Get your kids and your classroom involved, okay? Talk to them about astronomy. Maybe they can do it over the summer or even now, okay? We're looking at things to do for the kids. They learn so much. It opens up literacy. It opens up mathematics. It opens up history. It opens up science. So astronomy is an incredible science, okay? You get where I'm going here. All right, so it's GMTO.org, Giant Magellan Telescope. You can just Google that. Okay, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And hello to my friend Billy Hicks, who I know is listening. Take care, everybody.